Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. You can find Kevin Wooster's blog on sdpb.org/Wooster. And sometimes you can find him at the State Game, Fish, and Parks Commission meetings where he's ready to share his thoughts on policy. And he joins us now for a preview of this week's On the Other Hand. Hey, Kevin, welcome back.
It's great to be back, as always, Lori.
Okay, on the website, there's a pretty good selfie of you there with GF&P Commission members. So tell us a little story, because we're really continuing a conversation we had before about dogs in snares on public lands in South Dakota.
Yeah, that's become kind of an issue because, a couple of dogs got caught on public hunting ground by hunting dogs, and these are public lands for trappers, too, so they can use those properties, and snares are an effective tool for coyotes and other predators that they're looking for. And they can also, as my dog experienced many years ago and other hunters' dogs have experienced since, run into them. And so far, we're not aware of a confirmed case of a death, but in South Dakota, although there is one that a guy has brought up social media-wise to me, but elsewhere they have died. So this was an issue going on there, and I was not planning on speaking when it began, but by the time it got rolling, I thought, I'm 66, I'm semi-retired, I'm kind of my own agent these days. I'll do something I haven't done for 40 years at these commission meetings. I'll get up and talk.
How did it feel to step over to the point where, I'm going to get up and say, I have something to add to the conversation here. I'm not just covering this. I'm part of it.
It was strange, and, I was cautious at first. And in fact, when I got done, Nancy Hilding, who's an Audubon Society person out here who's been active in many environmental causes, said, well, what should they do? You didn't tell us what you think they should do. And I didn't really tell them that. I really said, here's my concerns more. So even at that point, it's still to cross the line and say, here's what you should do, and here's what... I offered some ideas, some suggestions. I offered my perspective, I think, is what I did, and tried to counter some things that had been said earlier that I didn't agree with. But in the end, I didn't really say I support or don't support. And as I thought, as she called me on it, I thought, I don't know if I do support it or not, which is an interesting thing, because people always think that we have all these opinions that go directly to here's what you should do or here's what you shouldn't do. And sometimes that's true. But as reporters, a lot of times we have perspectives that are a little bit more nuanced than that. And so I offered perspectives, I think, and that was kind of fun.
This is sort of new for me, because I'm finding more and more people friends, people that I know, will call and say, well, what do you think about this issue, or who should I vote for? Okay. And I'm like, I can lay out everything that they think, and I can tell you so that you can decide, but I don't know who you should vote.
Yeah.
It's sort of an interesting thing, but I do think as a journalist, you start disappearing into... you understand there's a whole lot more to the issue than meets the eye if, you make a quick decision or a rash decision.
Absolutely. I mean, one of the things I say, the great thing about being a journalist is every morning you get up and you get to go out and find out what you didn't know or what you knew wrong, and that it wasn't as simple as you thought it was. It wasn't as clear-cut as you expected. And that's a great thing, because it's usually the reality of the world we live in and the issues we face.
Yeah. What did you learn at this meeting from other people's perspectives as well, whether or not you wanted to speak from a different perspective or not? What did you learn?
Well, I learned, first of all, that it's probably a good idea to actually face the commission when you're talking to them. As you noticed my selfie, that was a selfie with the commission and back, but that's also the way I spent a good chunk of my 5 minutes of allotted time.
Yeah.
Because there were people in the audience I wanted to talk to, and I thought, how do people sit up here when they're referring to something somebody just said and not turn around and look at the person they're talking about? So I need some discipline there. And as I said, I didn't even tell them who I was. I mean, they knew who I was, because I'm there all the time. But I didn't give my name. I didn't say, Mr. Chairman, pleasure to be here, commission members.
Yeah.
I just got up and started running off at the mouth, which is kind of what I do here. But there were, as I listened to the trapper's perspective, I always have a better idea where they're coming from. And Nancy Hilding always gives an interesting perspective from the wildlife and the Audubon and the non-consumptive user side of things. And there was a sportsman's person there. But I think I did then when I was afterwards, I thought, I've watched people testify for 40 years. and suddenly I didn't know how to do it. I was paying attention to what they said, not how they said it or what they did. So
some practice.
You're gonna have to do this again. I think I'm going to get some practice. Right. I've already issued considered a threat, maybe a warning or at least a notice. Legislators in peer, be on guard. I could show up at a committee meeting and talk to you over my shoulder at a committee.
It's immersion journalism, right?
Yeah. And yet I'm still not, with all this, I'm still not exactly sure what I think they should do.
Right.
And that was part of this, is that's the process that I love, is when a whole bunch of people come together with very different ideas and try not to just yell at each other and walk off mad, but to actually have a communication and a dialogue, and that's how you get things done.
Tell us a little bit about the issue itself of snares and dogs getting stuck in them. We've talked about it before, but I know from, as I was reading your blog, I realized that I'm one of those people that is not using public land for hunting, but I'm one of those who is taking her dog out, you know, just for a walk. And she stays pretty close to me, but not right at my heels. And the whole point is to be able to let her off her leash for a while when nobody else is around. Should I be worried? Should I be looking for certain things? Because even in some of the public information, getting the word out, they were talking about it was, you know, for hunters. How do you reach the tourists and the hikers and the people who might just be looking for a quiet place to run with their dog?
Well, yeah, and that's a great point, because we're not just talking about game production areas that are mostly used for hunting and waterfowl production areas. Talking about Black Hills National Forest or the grasslands, you know, all kinds of different public grounds, and even some public rights-of-ways, you know, the section line roads and road ditches. And so they're talking about putting signs maybe on some of these areas that are well used, maybe notices, and maybe that would include in the forest areas. They're talking about working with trapper education to make sure they're aware that a lot of other people are using that area and you don't want to catch dogs. And if you do, you should, you know, here's what you should do. But that is an issue there. And I put in the story that I read out of Casper where three St. Bernards died. One family lost three St. Bernards in snares in one sequence. So, I mean, these are things you have to be aware of.
Yeah, and I'm not letting my dog just go. I mean, she's with me, but I also am one of those people who would have no idea how to get her out of. And I'll tell you, Kevin, my dog, although I'm sure they're very smart and instinctively they might lay still because she's used to having a leash, she's kind of a city dog. And I've seen her do some, you know, we took her out for a walk in Custer and came across a barbed wire fence and thought, well, we'll, you know, help her figure this out. She jumped over that, didn't make it, landed on top of the fence, got hung up with her belly and the barbs raking her underneath. Yeah. We had to lift that dog off. And, you know, she just isn't used. She's not, I wouldn't say she's not smart, but it's not her, you know, it's not her territory.
No. No. And, you know, my dog.
She's a princess, Kevin.
Yeah.
Let's call it what it is.
My dogs have been wrapped in wire, you know, because there's old barbed wire strands and things.
Right.
And that's what I thought was my dog years ago had around its neck. And then I couldn't get it off. So I panicked. Kind of got the dog worked up and probably made it worse than it needed to be, although she wasn't hurt. But I think this conversation is important for the reason that you just pointed out. There are a lot of other people out there that maybe don't pay attention to game, fish, and parks, what Nancy Hilding said. What about them? And I think we need to talk about ways to reach them and to prevent something that could turn out pretty bad for a dog owner.
Right. It certainly has made me think about what I'm doing out there and, you know, what I know and what I don't know and who else is using the space. Because when you're out there, it's just yourself. You know, in South Dakota, there's so many places to go where you're just by yourself and you think you are. But it's a good heads up to say, you know, there's other people using this land in ways that maybe you haven't thought of. So pay attention.
It's multi-use, and we've all got to figure out a way to use it together.
Kevin Wooster, the blog is at sdpb.org/Wooster. Hey, thanks so much for being here. We'll see you next time.
My pleasure. Take care.